by that.
All right. So we're going to start a conversation this morning about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God for me, I believe, and it's clear in the Bible, it's not just about our a destination after this life. It definitely is the kingdom of heaven, but I believe that the kingdom of God can be experienced here on earth. We're going to go through a series of scriptures here in Matthew. We're going to just stick in Matthew of some of Jesus' words. Starting in Matthew 4, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent." In other words, turn around, go in the other direction. "For the kingdom of God is at hand." Matthew 5 says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" They have access into the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed, it goes on and on about all the blessed, for the meek shall they inherit the earth. I'll just skip into Matthew 6. "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it in heaven." Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures on heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will also be." Lastly, in Matthew 6, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You know, when I look at my own personal testimony, when I look at my own story, where I've seen God the most, where I've seen the miracles, where I've seen an unusual occurrence of God being involved with my life, it's been in the area of finances. For now 29 years, my wife and I have been living as quote-unquote missionaries. Not quote-unquote, we've been missionaries. And we live what they describe as by faith. So we don't receive a salary, but we have supporters, and you have all been a part of our life for the last 20 years. And so this has given us maybe an unfair advantage, because we've had many times where the funds have not been there. And we've said, "Oh God, we're just stepping out." And there's this belief that we felt in our hearts as teenagers, and we just kept on, as where God guides, where he directs, he will provide. For me, that is living in the kingdom of God, living according to his economy, living according to his provisions in the framework. Like I said, I feel like I've had an unfair advantage. When I left, it was Freeman Toyota in Santa Rosa, California, the last place I ever had where I got a paycheck every 2 weeks. And I looked at my last paycheck, and I heard the Lord speak to me saying, I looked at the logo of the company, and I felt like the Lord said, "We're just taking out the middleman. I'm going to provide for you." Now, I know that there's the partners, but there was this sense of just walking off to the abyss. Okay, Lord, we're trusting you. One of the also things that I feel like I had a real blessing in, both my wife and I attended a school. We were saturated in a culture really early on, where giving was anticipated. We loved giving. We lived in a culture that celebrated it. I remember as a teenager, our church, the way they handled missions is we had what was called faith promise. So at the end of the year, you made kind of a commitment of what are you going to give for the next year? And I got caught up into this amazing joy and celebration of giving. And I remember as a teenager praying about, what can I do? And I found such joy in living in that kind of lifestyle. I have discovered, and this is the conversation that I want to open up, I've discovered that there is a kingdom of the world. And then there's that operates on the rules of the world systems. And then I've discovered that there's a different set of rules or guidelines that is inspired, called the kingdom of God. And so this is what I'd like to kind of look at. What's the difference? The kingdom of buying and selling versus giving and receiving. Here's what I feel the kingdom of buying and selling kind of is captured. It's this exchange of goods or money for another item of equal value. Okay? I give you something, and I expect something in return. Kingdom of buying and selling is I live as though I owe you or you owe me. Keeping score or accounts. Common phrase, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Living according to that. Marriage is, there's a great book, and I think it has so much good meat in it. But when it's taken to its extreme, it can be a marriage of kingdom of buying and selling, and that is the love bank. You know, making deposits. And my wife and I would joke about this. Have I made enough deposits for withdrawal, you know? Because I know I'm going to make a mistake here or there. But if it's taken to kind of an extreme, it's kind of like, you know, oh, have I earned? You know, like I had a beautiful day with Aaron on Friday. We went skiing. Now, it was Valentine's Day. I know that. But our wives were with us. Well, kind of. They were in the lodge. Okay, but it was their love gift to Aaron and I. And we had a great Valentine's Day. And if I lived in a marriage of buying and selling, it would be like, did I earn enough credit here for going skiing on Valentine's Day? Because we chose that because it was an awesome price on lift tickets. It was only $14. Now, I believe there's such validity in what's called and being criticized by many sectors of the community of faith, and that's called the prosperity gospel. I don't believe that they don't have good information and good truth. There is an economy of God that you give and God gives back. There is that truth. It's often talked about in Jeremiah saying, when you spend yourself on the poor, then I will release stored up blessings, so that there is truth. But if your motivation in giving is to receive, I would suggest you're living in a world of buying and selling. That would be the world system if that's your motivation. If you come and are inspired to give in order for what you're going to get out of it, I would suggest that's the world's economy. Now, what do I see the kingdom of God of giving and receiving? I transfer something I have to another without expecting anything in return. I yield or commit to without expectation of personal gain. I receive something without obligation of giving something in return. Now, some of us have cultivated a pretty healthy lifestyle of giving. But some of us are lagging a little bit behind in the area of receiving. And sometimes I've heard people say, well, I've been given something, now I've got to give something in return. like Christmas. Oh, awkward moments. If you're living in the buying and selling, oh, they gave me a gift. Now I've got to give them a gift. That's buying and selling, not giving and receiving. We had a time where our family was talking about, you know, what are we going to do this Christmas? And I just wanted to say to everybody, just do what's in your heart and be okay with that. And if you have the resources to give a gift, give it. If it's this is in your heart to do. And if you don't have the resources, I always tell my kids, my favorite gift for my birthday or for Christmas is I want to hear their heart. So let me into your heart. What's your heart saying? And a card or a letter is just amazing. But how does this impact our day, our day-to-day? The buying and selling, I believe, uncovers the value in buying and selling. The kingdom of that is personal gain. That's the value. What do I get out of it? What is my personal gain of this? I also believe that in the kingdom of buying and selling is we treat others as objects. We build a team at work, and we select people that will have gain for me. We treat family members, spouses, as objects. I saw this many times, even in the world that I work in ministry, of beginning to creep over to that where I'm just treating my team of, can we reach the task? Can we pull this off? And then I step back and I'm saying, I'm treating this person as an object. We treat organizations as objects. We join churches, Rotary, or other organizations for what we can get out of it rather than what we can give. I think in the world of buying and selling, as we make decisions, like, for example, employment decisions based on just only the compensation package, the benefit package, rather than saying, Lord, is this my assignment? Is this where you want me to be fruitful? Is this my place that you have portioned out for me to connect with others? Yeah, I may not have the best financial package, but this is where the Father has sent me. That's living to me in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of God. Where do you choose to live? Lord, what neighborhood do you want to plant me? Where do you want me to live? Who's the neighbors do you want me to connect with? Is that a part of our conversation? Is that a part of our frame? Now, we don't have to get too weird about this, you know, but is it a part of our thinking? Or is it just about, I want this? And not pausing and just saying, hey, you know what? I'm just going to involve God in my decision process. Laying out two job offers and say, Lord, what do you think? Is there anything that you'd like to say in this moment? To me, that gets exciting. That gets exciting about defying the spirit of buying and selling into living and experiencing this world of giving and receiving. On an impact on day-to-day for giving and receiving, I believe that we value loving others. We value that. We value being intentional about it. Strategizing. We treat others with respect, value, and honor. We reach out without expectation of personal benefit. One of the things that when my wife and I was serving with Mercy Ships, an organization that has large hospital ships that serve the world's poor, we found as an organization that we were doing something really wrong. we would have what's called screening day, and people would come for miles with these medical conditions in hope of getting a surgery. And so in the early days of our organization, we had people out there and music teams, drama teams, presenting the story of God's love. And then we had invitations to receive that story and wanting to be a part of it. Can you imagine we had 100% conversions? And we realized we were operating in a system without, you know, intending to. We were putting a lot of pressure because these guys, a lot of them had to be turned away because we couldn't operate on everybody. Not everybody was qualified. Not everybody was operable. And here they are, and they're desperate with a felt need. And then we get this presentation, and I'll take it. I'll sign up because of a fear of if I don't, maybe they may not give me this surgery. I've challenged many teams in the field and missions and outreach teams. I said, are you connecting with this person out of pure compassion and pure motive? Do you really want to get to know them, or are you looking for a notch on your belt? Are you looking for a score of, hey, we got so many decisions that made a turn in their life? Or do you really care about that person? Are you really interested? To me, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of God. It's giving without expectation of anything in return. Showing up and presenting a message, and if no one wants to respond, I honor you in not responding because I give you this information without any expectation of any kind of response. To me, that's the exciting kingdom of heaven to be able to experience right now, today. We give without any strings attached. We receive without shame or guilt. Oh, my goodness. That reminds me of a situation I had. We were, as a family, in Los Angeles at the mission headquarters of Youth of the Mission in the Southwest. And we felt we were to go and accept the invitation to go to South, to move our family to South Korea. And my daughter who's with me was, I think, 8 months old at that time. So it was young in our journey. And it was our practice on our mission compound to meet every Monday morning and just have a time of worship and prayer and get the week started. And we happened to have a lot of youth teams on this particular Monday that were getting ready to be going out to Mexico, Europe, and all sorts of places around the world. And so we were there, and I was holding my third child, Heidi, in my arms, and my friend was up there, and he had his guitar, and he was leading, singing, and he stops abruptly, and he said, you know, I hadn't planned on doing it this morning, but I feel like we're to give an offering. I want to give. Again, I was in a culture where giving was exciting. I want to give. And here's all these fellow missionaries. And we often made a practice just to say, hey, let's flow in generosity. So he said, and let me back up here. Let me give you a little background to I was standing there and what we were doing. My family and I I'd gone on my first speaking trip to all my friends that had gone to Bible school with me, you know, and said, hey, can I present what our family's doing? We're moving to Korea. We need to raise the funds to buy the airline tickets, which was all six of us. It was about $5,300. And we'd like to share with what we're doing. So I went on this trip, and I had made this beautiful little brochure. It was a classic. It was great. Good. Really good. I sent it out. And after I sent it out, I raised $100. So then we went on the speaking trip, and I can't say I waxed eloquently. I was still, early on in getting comfortable in front of people, but at least I did my best. I showed up. We'd get these offerings. And what I forgot to calculate is, you need money to get to the next destination and food. Well, a lot of the offerings just put the gas in and the food in, and we went to the next service. And we were traveled about 3 weeks. We came back to Los Angeles, and we still had that $100, and that was it. Now, these were the days, you remember when we used travel agents to book tickets? These were the old days. And the travel agent had reserved these tickets, and it was getting down to 2 weeks before we were to leave. And she called me and said, "Do you still want these tickets?" I said, "Yes." We only had $100, and we needed $5,300. And so on Friday, before this Monday, she said, "I have to have this money in full by Monday at 5 o'clock. I said, "Okay." And so when I woke up that morning, I turned to my wife, and Becky said, "I wonder how God's going to do this." Again, living in the kingdom of God, where the checkbook is just an indicator, not a dictator. See, in the kingdom of God, we don't ignore the checkbook, but we don't let it dictate. So I said, "I don't know." So here I am, standing in the back, holding one of my kids. And my friend says, he didn't know, had no idea what our deadline was. We hadn't told anybody except my parents. And he said, "I think we're just taking offering." He said, "For anyone out there that's going on an outreach and you're short, come on forward." And this is where learning how to receive is not as easy as learning how to give in some people's story. And for me, it was. So we lined up the front, and it was about a dozen or ten of us in the front. And I was over here in this corner, and he started from that edge and came down. And I remember the first guy, he was going to France, and he needed $100. And it was next guy, I think it was to Brazil, $200. There was nothing on that list of all those people that was more than about a couple hundred dollars. And as they were going, I was going, "Oh my gosh, I wish I could hide under the carpet. I would love to be anywhere else." And I remember my friend turned to me and looked, and I'm over here. Well, my wife and our family, as you know, is going to Korea, and we need $5,200 by 5 o'clock today. And he didn't even say anything. He said, "Okay." And then he said, "Okay, now I want you to pray and ask, number one, are you to give? Because the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's fun. You don't have to. Just respond. What's in your heart? It's not compulsive. It's the buying and selling thing. It's all twisting and turning and, trying to manipulate and shame people into giving. That's the kingdom of the world. The buying and selling is freedom." He said, "Pray and ask. If you're to give, give. And then, who should you give to? And respond." So people started responding. And just, there was an even distribution, and I'm sitting there going, "Oh, I wish I could be anywhere else." And they would come up, and I would hug them, and I'd put their notes or their check, and I'd put it in my pocket, but it was a good process. It was painfully good. And at the end of the morning session, I went out and to the office, and I started looking at what was in there. And it was a miracle. I mean, these poor missionaries, there was a check and a little note. Some girl says, "I just got an inheritance, and I wanted to give." And there was $2,700. I was like, "Oh, wow." Because I'm telling you, they didn't have money. It was a source that was like, "What happened here?" So then, back in the days, when we really relied on mail, the U.S. mail? Well, for missionaries, man, that was like, that's where our miracles came. It wasn't emails and all those kind of things. It was the postage. And I had been watching the mail diligently, and there was like nothing. And here, the day we needed it, there was letter after letter after letter that came in that day. It was like incredible. I had so much mail to open, someone helped me. And we were opening it, and someone was running the calculator. Guess what? Through the offering and what came in the mail that day, guess how much we had? We had $5,300. Not a dollar more, not a dollar less. Amazing. So I'll finish the story out. Doesn't really have anything to do with I'm here, but it's a good story. So I get all deposited. I cross Los Angeles, which is like in the New England, it's like going to another state, you know, crossing just the city of Los Angeles. It takes about that much time. So I get there just before 5 o'clock. And I remember I am like driving there. I am like floating because I'm in the midst of experiencing an amazing miracle. And I remember I'm just about to write the check, and the lady said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. There was some extra taxes or fees. It's going to be another $100. And I remember pausing, thinking, this check is going to bounce. Wow. And everything kind of just went, you know, the air in the balloon just went. And so I wrote it a little slower and handed it, drove a little less excited, and went back. And I'm kind of stunned by this because my emotions went high. Now it had kind of crashed. So we're there, and I was just about to tell my wife what happened, and there was a knock on the door. And a friend said, "Man, I've been looking for you. Lord told me you needed another $100 here." Giving and receiving the kingdom of God. But it's more than just finances. If you walk away from here thinking, "Oh, the guy I just talked about was money," you miss what I'm sharing. Because I really believe in this. This story that I've been experiencing for 29 years on exploring what is it like to live in the kingdom of God now has been an amazing journey that's impacted my relationships. Sure, it's impacted my finances, but it's impacted my relationships with others, with my wife, with my kids, with those that I work with. How we spend and how we make decisions. Randy Alcorn is a famous author, and I was reading a quote from his, and I thought it was a real shocking revelation. He said, "Health and wealth gospel is permeating." Again, a gospel. I'm not criticizing a lot of the material and the information being shared, because it's true. But again, when it's your motivation, then I think it needs to be reconsidered. Over the years, I've heard of pastors who are literally bribed to go to another church. They say no to an offer, and another offer comes back. This time, it's free membership at the health club and tennis lessons for kids. This is to guys who have said, "My family have sat down and discussed it. We've prayed about it. We've talked to the elders here, and we've decided it's not what God wants us to do." Now, if I say I really sense this is God's conviction to stay, then what you're doing is offering me money and possessions to lure me into violating my stated convictions. How is that different from bribery? I didn't realize that this is becoming a more common place. And so I feel like this conversation needs to be started. As we embark into our tomorrows, will we want to live according to the kingdom of buying and selling, the kingdom of the system of the world that I believe has severe consequences and severe limitations? When my wife and I feel like the Lord is prompting us to do something, even coming here and hanging out with you for a few months, we looked at the situation. We said, okay, we've got Becky's mom living with us. What's going to happen with that? So we put that up on the list. Again, not as a dictator, not as something that hinders us, but we just say, okay, here's the question. Then, well, what about the extra financial cost of having two places? Living up here, extra costs of being away. We put that up there. And then there was, who's going to take care of our house while we're gone? We put that up there. And the joy of living in the kingdom of heaven, it's not about us. It's about responsibly showing up. I was sharing Wednesday night, I think it was, that when I first got married, I didn't buy into the belief that I was going to be the provider of the house. Because I thought, man, that's a risky adventure. I remember I met my future father-in-law, and he looked at me, and I was really young. I met him because I turned 20 on our honeymoon, so I was like 18 or 19, and he's looking at like, how are you going to provide for my daughter? I said, I don't have a clue. Really, I didn't. But I believed in something, and that was, if I'm faithful, God's my provider. Jehovah Jireh is my provider and my family's provider. Even if I had the best job, I was talking to a friend that recently retired from his job, and he had a wonderful retirement benefit and package. And then the year after he retired, they went into bankruptcy. And guess what got cut? And I was talking to him. I said, boy, if you haven't already decided who the provider is, this would be a good time to think about that. The kingdom of heaven, it can be experienced now, where we're not defined. It's not that we ignore it. My wife and I didn't ignore those things. But then we started seeing God come. Someone that was just joining our ministry, Hope Force, contacted us. And we said, well, hey, you want to come a little early and hang out with Becky's mom and kind of take care of her, and we'll give you a free place to live? We started seeing everything come together. And that's the joy of experiencing his kingdom now. Not just waiting for a day when we're no longer here to experience the riches of a system that's designed and operated by God. I believe the kingdom was crafted in the garden. We got messed up, went our own way, and we still kind of are floundering through how to operate and how to live today. I believe the kingdom of heaven, when it's fully received, fully operational, we don't live under guilt and shame and oh, I should do more, or I should. It's about living and being present in the moment and saying, you know what? I can give now. Right now, I can't give. It was a wonderful story. I was sharing at a church in Eugene, Oregon. And I was commenting to the pastor before I shared. I said, man, last Sunday, you really shocked me. Because he got up and said, guys, everything's going really good financially. Church is so healthy. You guys have been, we've got more than we need. I've never heard a pastor in front of a church being willing to admit that. I was just commending him because I felt like he was really experiencing the kingdom of God. He said, well, let me tell you a story of what we did last year. They took the offering, and then they passed the plates a second time. And in the preparation for the second time, he said, now, guys, this is a time for you to receive. If you're facing a utility bill you cannot meet, if you're facing a financial, if you need food on the table today, I want you to take out of the plates what you need. You know, the second time the plates passed, it was a lot harder. Because again, for some of us, learning how to receive is where we're our biggest challenge. Just to be able to receive and not have guilt of trying to pay it back, trying to earn it. have a prayer in my heart as the worship team comes up. I'd just like to close us with just a prayer that's on my heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you that day 2,000 years plus ago, you sat on the mountain, you said, I want to unveil more of this story. I want to show us how to live and how to be free and how to experience relationships of great dimension, of all that they're intended to be. Living, yes, in this world, but becoming wise and floating above that. Lord, I'm so grateful for this revelation. Lord, as we start this conversation this morning, may we just consider personally, where are we at? What are we facing? What are the decisions that are confronting us? What are the situations in relationships? And may we tune our ear and hear, and may our eyes be open to seeing how we can experience the full kingdom of heaven that's available to us now. In your name.